Hi, I am Nirmal Sarkar, and you are listening to the Crypto Hub India podcast. We are a group of crypto enthusiasts, and this podcast is nothing but a collection of our Clubhouse live sessions, where we discuss the latest crypto trends from India. Well, this also means you can directly participate on our Clubhouse sessions and become a part of our next episode. Come, join us. Visit CryptoHubIndia.com to get all our social links. Thank you.
We are from Crypto Hub India. So Crypto Hub is a page on it's a page on Facebook, and we have around 25,000-26,000 members there. We also run a Twitter account, and also we have a Telegram channel. So we conduct these Clubhouse sessions regularly. You might have attended earlier also. Just to answer your questions, na Jagdish, there are a lot of apps, lot of exchanges. So we basically go for Binance. पैसा अगर Binance में लेना है तो P2P funding section का use कर सकते हैं. Else, I don't know, from Indian perspective, I think people are using CoinDCX and Wajirex or PocketBits. These kind of exchanges. Even BitBNS used to allows bank transfer. So you can choose any UPI or bank transfer.
I am using CoinDC. After coming 50% of loss, I realized that it is better to.
Yeah. So basically, like whenever you have to trade in INR, so you must have to have a exchange which have a INR pairing. So only Indian exchanges gives that option that you can trade in INR. So we have exchanges like CoinDCX, PocketBits, Wazirex, and BitBNS, and go. So all these exchanges provide us the trading, you can say, on INR pad. So like most of the people, or maybe the new coiners who are joining crypto for the first time, they wish to trade on INR only, because they can able, you can say, it is easier to, you can say, calculate the profit and loss, and they can do the DCRC, whatever you say, accordingly. Most of the people who join for the first time, they don't feel, you can say, better with USD pairing or any other pair, whatever they have, either with the BTC or you can say Ethereum. So that's why people who wish to have a INR pair, they have to go with this Indian exchanges. They don't have any other option, because if you use Binance and if you check the price of any particular coin in INR, they will tell you the price accordingly of this this INR and USD rate, which is I think 10%. There is a gap between 10%, I think 10 or 12% gap between USDT and USD when it comes to India. So you will find, like, if USDT is 80 plus trading on this Wazirex, you will find, like, on if you use Binance or any KuCoin or Coinbase, you will find, like, the USDT rate is around 74 or 75, which is exact value of USD in INR. So that's why if you used to, you can say, trade on INR pair, you must have to have a Indian exchange.
But can I comment here, actually? Sorry to interrupt.
For it.
So actually, the thing, are you specifically referring to Binance P2P stablecoins rate?
Yes.
Because that denoted it.
Whenever you use Binance P2P option, that P2P, suppose I'm going to have I'm going to purchase USDT from Binance using P2P. So that P2P option, that is depend on the buyer and seller.
Exactly.
But let me complete. But who decide that price? Why people are going for 80?
No, I'll tell you who decides that price.
Okay.
See, essentially, okay. What happens when the crypto market crashes, there is a sudden demand for stable coins. I'm not talking about USDT. It can be USDC, BUSD, etc. Because see, you are selling something and you are buying something. Like, every trade happens in stable coins, na, on exchanges, right? So whenever a market crashes, which is the current state right now, stable prices of stable coin in INR will always rise, because that price, there is a sudden increase in demand for stable coin, and hence that price gets increased, because it then does not really get equated with one US dollar is equals to one USDT. It's a short-term demand pull which is trying to inflate the price of stablecoin over and above one USD. So that is the reason. And then since P2P is not that transparent, neither liquid, because of low buyers and sellers, that prices then again increases. So there are two reasons why it's not equal to on internet FTX or Q or other internet Bitfinex, Bittrex, etc. So these are the essential two reasons.
No, you are right at your place, but there is no two reasons. There is only one reason: the demand and the supply. As in India, we don't have an option to mint USDT. We can only buy and sell it. But if you are living in US or if you are using global platforms which provide you to load USDT, so they have an option of minting. You can mint BUSD on Binance if your country allows that option to, you can load it. You can mint USDT. That belongs to country to country. If that country allows to mint, you can mint it. But in India, we don't have that option. So we have to buy it and sell it. So we are using it for a trade purpose as well. So whenever the demand rises, the rate of USDT
demand
rises.
Will rise whenever crypto prices.
So we are not talking about it. You can say then why it rises.
No, why me? I am telling you that that one USD is not sometimes is not equivalent to one USDT or BUSD because it depends on markets. I told you a very specific example that when market crashes, there is a sudden demand for stablecoin, hence prices increase. Plus, on top of that, peer to peer does not have liquidity. So those are my two sets.
The P2P is never the reason impact the price. Actually, the trading.
Ravi, Rohit, you are saying something, and Ravi is saying something else. Both are right at your place. What Ravi is trying to say is the bar India ke bar out of India the USDT is allowed to be mint. So they give one USDT and get one one USD and get one USDT. In India it is not the case. So we rely on USDT to be bought. So it acts as a crypto coin like any other BTC or Ethereum. So the price fluctuates over here. That is what Ravi is trying to explain.
Yeah, I'm talking about the fundamental reason. I'm not talking about the sentiments, why the demand rises. Not talking about that point. We know the rising demand can be, if any positive news come from Indian government, the demand will be rise. If market is crashing, people think like it's a good time to buy, the demand will be rises. I'm not talking about why it rise. I'm just talking about but why the price fluctuate even after being a stable coin. So the concept of stable coin that it should be stable, it should be equivalent to USD. It is, but not for us because we don't have an option to mint it. We have to use it for trade. If you need USDT, you have to buy it and you have to find a seller. If that seller is okay to sell at 74 or 75, you will get it at a good price. But just because there is a high demand and low liquidity of USDT in India, people sell it at a higher rate. And people who are buying, they are okay with it because they know this is how it works in India. So that's why you should not never compare this Binance INR pair with Indian exchanges INR pair because both work totally different. So this was the just a answer. I think someone asked. I was like, who was there? I think Jagdeep.
So
was
one question I would like to ask, like, if you want to instead of USDT, if you want to do it for INR, maybe like build something for INRT, something like that. So is it kind of something solve the problem? Can we see something like that in future or like
It can be. If India have its own stable coin, then we have the power to mint it. Suppose I'm depositing 1,000 rupees on any exchange and directly I'm getting any Indian crypto coin, you can say INR in, you can say crypto basically. So that problem can be solved, but right now what we are doing, it we are depositing INR on a wallet. Suppose if I'm using Wazirex, so I have to deposit INR first of all on Wazirex wallet, then I will be able to buy it, any crypto, you can say, currency.
Yes. So like I mean, like if there's some exchange in India, they say like we'll build INRT for India, so that kind of thing, similar thing is possible.
Yeah,
right?
Then we will be getting this stable coin for INR, so we don't have to load up INR wallet and then have to buy any particular coin. We will be directly getting the particular coin, whatever we are buying, and then we can run INR pair as well. Right now, whatever the INR pair is, we have it. It's just, you can say, at UI end, at the background, the actual thing is working, that USDT rate.
Right.
So if the USDT rate is fluctuated, if it goes above 80, all the currency will be get affected, just because the global market works on a, you can say, USD or maybe USDT. And that's why I think it should be there if you can say government allows to trade, then the exchanges can come up with the stable coin,
so
with INR.
So in terms of the law, right, the laws that which are provided for the US dollar are the same for INR also, right? It's not like US government has provided some regulations. You can print, you can print
but,
USDT.
The issue is nobody is going to dare for it now. Right now, the issue, first of all, the issue is to get a proper law of cryptocurrency, or either to trade or any primary law on cryptocurrency. People are saying it might be get banned. Some are saying that it will be get listed as a, you can say, a tradable asset class. It may be gonna get asset class. First of all, we have to get the clearance of that. Then we will decide. And I think India is surely going to get maybe stable coin or INR, or maybe a particular solution for this. Because right now, there will be some people who's also using it for, you can say, money laundering as well. If you are receiving $500 from US using USDT, and here in India, if you are selling it, you are getting 80 rupees per dollar, which is 70 or 74 only. So there are some people, and that is against the law as well, if you follow it. So that's why I say, if Indian government comes with any positive news about cryptocurrency, then later on, people who are into this market or running the exchanges will decide to go on with the solution as well.
Sure. Sounds like.
Hello. Can I ask one question?
Go one by one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask?
Yeah, Jagdish, go.
I am using CoinDCX. Whenever I buy cryptocurrency, it always showing losses. Even for 1 second, it is not showing equivalent. It is always showing losses. Can you suggest me another better app for that?
No, I think CoinDCX is one of the best option in India right now, because they have a good backing, and they are not a kind of people who are misleading their users. So you can say it is a Coinbase of India, because they are also backed by Coinbase, and they also work similarly just like a Coinbase. So I don't think there is any better option than this CoinDCX. But yeah, only issue will be there, you will be get limited number of coins just like Coinbase. So if that issue is there, you can shift to Binance or any other exchange, so you can have a multiple option to buy and trade. But as for the safety, and you can say as per user, you can say customer services, I think CoinDCX is best for now. You don't have to get any another Indian exchanges, but if you like to shift on any other exchanges, you should go for a global exchange, either go for Binance or KuCoin. But in India, what I feel like in Indian exchanges, CoinDCX will be the first priority.
CoinDCX is not giving any.
Yeah, so you can go with the global exchanges. You should use KuCoin or Binance, but don't try to get any other Indian exchanges, because if CoinDCX is not good for you, then I think there is no other option. You should go for a Binance. And basically, most of the people use global exchanges only. Maybe only a few people who may be new coiners, or maybe not trading much, they will be only using Indian exchanges. Otherwise, the people who is doing trade frequently will surely gonna use Binance or KuCoin and any other global exchanges. That depends. So in India, I think CoinDCX is the first priority. If you want to trade, and if you are not happy with the CoinDCX, you should go for Binance or KuCoin or multiple options.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, go for it.
So Ravi, if suppose I'm living in Canada and I'm earning in dollars, so I can easily add in Binance with my debit card. So suppose I'm adding 1,500 Canadian dollar in my Binance and I'm buying BNB coin and after that I transfer that in WazirX and I'm withdrawing that money in my account. So I'm getting almost 8 to 10% from each withdrawal. So if I do these kind of things, I have to ready to pay any kind of taxes or I have to I have to ready for any kind of legal document from Indian government.
Yeah, if you wanna withdraw it like higher amounts from WazirX, you will be have to notify, because if you are using WazirX, you might have done the KYC, and
yes,
in KYC you have submitted all your PAN card or you can say Aadhaar card.
Okay, so
people are receiving letters from, you can say, income tax department regarding their crypto investment. So ask the customer to visit the income tax office and then have to reveal how much you have invested and from where you getting this money. So if you are doing this kind of thing and they are able to track you, or maybe when they ask you from where you are getting this money and you are telling me that I'm doing this like from Canada, I'm transferring my money to India and then I'm withdrawing it, so maybe there will be some chances that they may gonna charge you for money laundering as well. But if you are using it for your own account, I don't think there will be any issue. But don't do
yes,
it for a larger amount, because if you go for
okay, I understand.
Beyond 5 lakhs,
That's the main point. If I have 4 WazirX account of my family member, so I can easily do 15 to 18 lakhs without any kind of problem, right?
Yeah, but
Patel,
yes, still
I send you one link. Can you check that? Adding cryptocurrency taxes
what?
In India.
Okay, who was there? Like,
I would like to ask one question. Can I do
this, Patel? Will you check that you can understand about Indian currency tax?
Okay.
No, but if he is transferring his own amount, suppose I'm living in any like USA or Canada and I have to send money to my family, so I can use the crypto medium to transfer it and later I can tell them that there was an option in Canada that is kind of primary option to send to your family. So I use that option, I send that money to my family members. That can be the scenario, but that can be for limited amount. You cannot tell like 15 to 20 lakh rupees I
and
have.
Also, Ravi, it might not be allowed method also. You can transfer. Yeah,
I mean, in not that amount. Like better. It can be possible up to maybe 1 lakh or 2 lakh. But beyond that, there will be chances that you have
somebody
to answer.
Will ask questions, where did this come from?
Yeah,
this?
Definitely.
I mean, anyways, let's see what, I mean, there will be rules on transfer.
Yeah, because right now we don't have a rule. So that's why people are more confused.
Because we have had some person.
If you sell within 3 years, if it is short, it is called short-term capital gains. It is chargeable about 15%. If you sell after 3 years, it is called long-term capital gains.
Earning.
Yeah,
it is not like on capital. Suppose I'm
it is called capital gains.
Yeah, so capital gains, the gains you made
gain.
It on taxation will be on that. Suppose I have invested 100 rupees and I have made 15 rupees, so the tax will be on 15 rupees, not on 115.
Yeah,
so suppose I'm sending the amount, suppose I'm sending 1 lakh from Canada to India and my brother or anyone else like withdraw that amount. So he got 1 lakh rupees, so there will be no tax on that because that is my capital investment. I haven't made any profit on that. I earned that amount from my job or whatever I have done in Canada. And then I transferred that money to my family member. Now they withdraw it through crypto. So there is no gain on that amount. I earned it with my job. So the taxation which you are talking about, that is on gains. Suppose you invested 1 lakh and you made 10-15,000 rupees out of that, then the taxation will be on that 10-15,000. It won't be on that 1 lakh rupees.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ravi sir, I think I can clear something.
Yeah, go for it.
Mr. Patel, you said you are in Canada, right? I think in this case, as far as we know that in India, we still don't have such kind of law or something. But until and unless there is some strict regulation, until that also, what I think you need to do is, first of all, you have to pay taxes on whatever you may earn in Canada, right? Maybe you are buying, today you are buying and you are sending in a couple of days. So there will be some kind of capital gain, CGT in that period, either profit or loss. You can still report that loss and you can still report that gain in Canada. But as far as Indian part, what I think, maybe you need to report that amount, like today, let's think today it's 72 rupees per dollar. And let's think you send $1,000, which is 72,000. But when you are selling in India, you might make it like 81,000. So maybe you have to report that 9,000 is income. On that is, as per my knowledge. So you still need to study on that. And if you are doing just like a couple $1,000 in entire year, maybe that might not affect anything. But if you are doing, you just told me in your whole family, you are thinking about 15 to 20 lakhs. But if you are in a single family, it may still affect. Because as per Indian regulation, you have to report if your transaction is in crypto, and until and unless you are not making more, you are not transacting or making more than 4,50,000 or 5 lakhs, somewhere around that. So, but if you are transacting in crypto, even if you are transacting just like 250,000, you can still report that. And it's not compulsory, but it's still good to report that, okay, I made 9,000 rupees out of that $1,000 which I have converted. It's not taxable, but you still report that. Maybe it will be good for like incoming history, incoming days. Like if maybe let's think after 2 or 3 years, if income tax wants some verification where you got that money or something like that, maybe you can show those documents.
I have a question, like if you want to buy crypto outside of centralized exchanges, what's the way for that? Is there any possibility in India?
Like we only have an option of P2P apart from an exchange, and apart from that you have to go for offline, which is not recommended. So we have only one option, which is P2P. Some people also count P2P platforms in exchange as well. So in that way, we don't have any option if you count P2P within exchange.
So like in case of US, maybe before Coinbase and Binance came, so the only option to buy Bitcoin was like P2P only.
Yeah, they had the options. Even in India, when I think in 2017 or before 15 to 17, there were multiple clubs going on where you can go Friday to Friday, Saturday to Saturday, and meet peoples who were trading into crypto, and there was no platform in India, so they were doing P2P and in offline mode. But then multiple exchanges came, so now people are using online modes. And
so my question being, like, if I'm trading on WazirX, so is it like I'm trading with only the people of WazirX, or is it like I'm trading like cross platforms?
No, within the exchange.
Okay. And if the liquidity of some coin goes down in WazirX, so it's going to impact the price a lot, right?
Yes, and it happens. It already happened multiple times.
Regularly it happens.
Yeah, Samit, your voice is a little bit low.
It is clear now?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it happens all the time, and with that rapid listing initiative, they manipulate a lot. So that is another that is a question for another day. But yeah, I mean, if you want to do some kind of decentralized,
so now I realize why that thing was happening.
Yeah, and if you want to buy something in a decentralized way, you have to start from a centralized exchange, and that is where the things are. Anyhow, you need to have some kind of BUSD or BNB so that you can go to PancakeSwap and swap it, or have some Solana to go into Radium, or have some Ethereum to go into Uniswap. So that's the first step.
If you don't mind, like how WazirX is going from fiat to crypto, I mean, that is the step you're talking about, right? So do you have any idea about that?
No. I was just talking about your first question only. If you want to do some, buy something in a decentralized way, right? You wanted to shift your base from a centralized exchange to decentralized exchanges altogether, right?
Right. Like if we remove the whole centralized thing, like start.
Yeah,
also
but the starting point is always centralized as of now. Because I think Thor chain has come up with something called Thor swap, where every token can be exchanged other token. It has like it supports 16 chains. You can even swap Ethereum with Bitcoin something directly without any. Uniswap or Pancake swap, you can just swap the Ethereum into WBTC, wrapped BTC kind of thing, wrapped version of Bitcoin. But here you can directly get one BTC out of Ethereum, BTC out of Cosmos, anything can be swapped. It supports 16 chains. The swapping portion is going well, the bridges and swapping and everything. But the starting point has always been the centralized exchange where you buy these stable coins or buy Bitcoin or buy Ethereum. And then you take it to swap. So that
first buy and then swap.
Exactly. Rest all the things you can do offline. But there are some options. I mean, there are some security things also. You go and a lot of hacks are also happening if you are not taking care of your decentralized wallet.
It
was happening on PancakeSwap. It was happening in PancakeSwap, but recently I saw in Phantom also in Solana. Automatic. Some program have run and they have drained all these Solanas. So everything is there. Hackers are active all the time. So in that way, how secure are they? Because centralized exchange should be more secure. At least they will refund your amount or do something. The bigger ones. Anyways, let us do that. That is a complete discussion. Anyways, your second question was?
So my second question was like, if I have an INR in my wallet and I want to enter the world of crypto. Mm-hmm. And if, for example, let's say if I don't want to use centralized exchange, is there any way or can we find any way or like what might be the starting point?
No, INR first of all is not a crypto, so you have to buy USDT anyhow or BUSD. If you want to use INR, then you have to go through this Indian exchanges only. Those allow direct buying of crypto using INR.
And what if someone made INR to your like some BINR kind of thing? So is it possible?
It is of course possible. I don't know how much one has thought about it, but again I don't know, everything is possible, but it is better to stick to dollars in my opinion,
because I'm asking for the reason, like I guess if I convert my INR to dollar, that has a fee involved in itself, right? So just to bypass it.
Till now, there
Again, you have to do it. Suppose you have a WazirX wallet and you have a 10,000 rupees on your WazirX wallet. So nobody is going to buy USDT. Some people will be there who trade in USDT because the USDT rate also fluctuates. So, but apart from that, those who are going to buy cryptocurrencies, different cryptos, they're gonna buying that particular coin directly. Suppose I have to buy BTC, so I'm gonna buy BTC with the INR pair. I'm not gonna buy USDT first and then I'm gonna buy that BTC with the USDT. No, I have an option, so I'm gonna buy BTC with the INR first of all. So I have to pay the fees first of all only one time. Suppose I'm buying BTC, so for that transaction I have to pay the fees, which is 0.2%. So even if you have the option of INR stable coin, nobody is going to buy that option until unless the this exchanges make it compulsory. Suppose right now you are depositing 10,000 in your wallet, so you are getting 10,000 INR rupees in your wallet. But if they make it compulsory, so that whatever the currency you are going to, whatever the amount you are going to deposit on your wallet, it will be converted to US stable coin of INR directly. You are not going to get INR wallet, you are going to get INR stable coin instead of that. But still, you have to pay that amount. Suppose you have deposited 10,000 INR on that WazirX wallet, or instead of receiving INR, you receive that stable coin of INR. Then again, you have to buy that BTC. So there will be one single transaction for each coin you are going to buy. Either you use the stable coin or not. and you and have to like, pay that fees.
Maybe what we discussed earlier, what in the case of like you say like if you want to buy USDT, its rate fluctuates sometimes. In case of false, it's like 80 to 78 or something like that. And what if we have like we can mint INRT? So the currency will be stable in our terms, like it is stable in terms of US?
Yes, it will be stable because it fluctuates just because of our demand. And we don't have option to mint USDT. If you see, there is like multiple stable coins as well, but people don't use that. People just use USDT to trade it. And the price of USDT only, like even BSDT its rate also fluctuate, but not that much as compared to USDT because it's being traded at a high rate, you can say. So when we have the option to mint INR stable coin, then there won't be a demand of USDT in India. We will be directly buying with the that INR stable coin, and nobody is going to bid for USDT. Right now we are bidding, we are buying at 80 rupees. That's why the price goes above 80 or maybe 81 because people are ready to buy it. But when we will be have the option, nobody is going to bid for that. Nobody is going to buy that stable coin at 80 rupees. Then the price will be stabilized.
Right, right. Thank you. Thanks for that.
And I'm not also sure, but as per my calculation, it should be because I'm not that much knowledgeable of this. But still, what I think, the only issue is that people are bidding a higher amount for USDT because they think it is a good time to buy it and they don't care about the price. Even if they are getting at 80 rupees, they are willing to pay it for it. So that's how this market going on. Even being a rate of 74, we are paying 80 or 81. But when we have the option to mint and buy it using INR stablecoin, I think it should be get stabilized because then nobody is going to buy that USDT, and we will be have the option to mint INR, so nobody is even going to trade on INR pair, INR stablecoin.
So in terms of like minting USDT, it means like you are converting your fiat USD into USDT.
Yes.
There is one new USDT converting,
yes.
And your money is like going with Tether or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So what Tether or this Coinbase are doing? They are just taking your $1 and giving you the Tether. So like they also said multiple times that we are fully backed by US dollar. So the number of USDT Tether we are minting, it is backed by exact amount of US dollar. But they, yeah. You can say they got charged by the law as well because they were only 70%, I think, backed by the US dollar, and other 30% was on some on properties and on Chinese paper. So there was a different topic. But yeah, even this Coinbase also said that they are going to be they are going to make this USDC fully backed with the dollar. So I don't know whether they have done it or not, but it was like last year, and they said that we were gonna do it before September last year. So I don't know whether they have done it or not, but people are trying to make this full so that it is fully backed by US dollar, whatever the stable coin you are using right now. And that is also fully transparent, so it can be tracked as well. So even the law enforcement don't have any problem with that.
Sure.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah, my question is related to tax part. Let us say I have some coins. Let us say I purchased it with INR in Indian exchange at a certain rate. And let us say after a while it goes to, let us, 1.5x. And I sell it and in terms of a BTC. Now, whatever Matic has been converted into BTC. Now, in this condition, whether this sell will cause me a taxation, because still now the money is not in the fiat currency form and it has not gone into my bank. So, does it call for taxation? I mean, on whatever virtual profit I have made?
No. You have to pay the taxes only when you are converting your crypto back to fiat. Suppose you have deposited 10,000 on an Indian exchange, you made profit of 5,000, so now you are withdrawing 15,000. So on that 5,000, you have to pay the taxes. So until unless you are not converting your crypto coins to fiat, you don't have to pay any taxes.
So that means if we can keep on swapping these coins.
Yeah, you can do it, and there won't be any taxes. Yeah, that is called unrealized gain. Na? So you don't have to pay taxes. It can be possible today you are in 10% profit, and it may be tomorrow if market falls, you may be 50% loss. So you shouldn't have to pay the taxes on your unrealized gains. Once you converted your profit, once you converted your all crypto to fiat, then you have to pay the taxes on that. If you are not converting your profit to fiat, you don't have to pay the taxes.
Thank you.
Just to add you what Ravi says, right now the norm is not to pay taxes until and unless you convert to INR. But in US, if you convert anything into the stable coins, you need to pay taxes. Stable coins. So in that way, that's why US government was keen on tracking who is holding what amount of USDT and when he has converted the cryptos, non-stable cryptos to stable coin USDT. So that's why they are pursuing after stable coin companies, USDT, USDC and everything, because now they want to pursue them because these people are stable coins and these are treated as dollar equivalent. So which means when people are converting into USDT or USDC, they need to pay the taxes. So I don't know how they will do it, but they're trying to do it with the help of the Tether. But in India, we do not have this norm. I mean, we do not pay only when we convert into USDT or USDC, rather than we go by INR value in that way.
So when the INR value, we transfer it to our bank. I mean,
exactly.
All this
exactly.
Is taking place in the bank account, isn't it? I mean, whatever is happening in the exchange, that we are not taking into consideration for our taxation, right?
No. If you are trading in Wazirex or CoinDCX, if government wants, they can easily get the data out, right? And also, Wazirex has a report in the settings section, like how much have you traded, what rate you have bought, and what rate you have selling.
Right.
So in that way, they can ask for the exchanges and get a view of the things as they stand. Because if you have, so let us say you took $10,000 and made it $100,000, right? And you sold them off. But you took only $9,000 or $10,000 into your account. You cannot just say to the government that I had brought in $10,000 and I'm taking $10,000. But you have traded around, you have made $90,000 in profit. So the in that way. So there are a lot of loopholes. Everything will be clear sooner than we think. let the confusion continue, because I have seen many people. I mean, yeah, the tax is a very gray area in this, but US is closer to the solving this taxation problems kind of, because their Coinbase and their FTXs, all these exchanges are they are the exchanges which have this tax filing enabled. The 400k report directly comes, and the filing will take place from the exchanges themselves. In that way, you buy, sell, whatever is the capital gains and all, directly it will get fired to government or something. Okay. So in India, that has not happened, but it will happen. It will happen. That.
And there was a news as well last year that Indian government have asked all the Indian crypto exchanges to have a PNL option compulsory. So it can be even the user and exchange and the government can be have the clear view on the profit, how much that profit that user have made. So maybe impossible, but that whenever this crypto bill comes, after that all the crypto exchanges, I think, will gonna surely give this option, this PNL option, just like I think this CoinSwitch have it. So if you are using CoinSwitch, it shows how much you made or how much you are in loss. So that similar kind of PNL option will be compulsory, will be available on each Indian exchange. So it can be tracked easily, and it will help the user and even the government to file the taxes. So if anyone have any other question related to this exchange, make it for keep it for only exchanges, because right now we are just talking about the exchanges, either go with the Indian exchanges or global exchanges. We have received multiple requests regarding exchange, so we just had this session dedicatedly on exchanges. So if you have any question related to any exchange, Indian exchanges or global exchange, you can raise your hand and you can ask your question.
Yeah, I would like to know what are your opinion about this WazirX? Is it a fair kind of?
To be honest, I don't trust any Indian exchanges because we don't have any kind of transparency over there. The only issue I have with the WazirX, which is a major issue, that is their rapid listing. So suppose ADA is, I think, in top 3 or top 5 right now, maybe top 6. That particular coin still they have listed in rapid listing. So that means you cannot deposit that coin or even you cannot withdraw that coin. So that is not right way because that may be possible. If you are just allowing people to trade that particular coin, that means you don't have that coin. So it's kind of ETF thing you are doing on an exchange, which is wrong. If you are running an exchange and that is an open order book, so you should allow deposit and withdraw as well. But they are not allowing it. And it is not just for Cardano. There are multiple coins who don't have an option to deposit and withdraw. You can only trade with that coin. So
for Cardano, there is a reason for Cardano. Because Cardano just updated its wallet backend.
No, but it's been there since one and a half years.
Yeah, but the problem with a lot of coins is that you have to constantly, have developers, in-house developers to maintain these wallets, to maintain the backend infrastructure. And that is a problem with WazirX, that they don't have, that they don't want to spend a lot of time maintaining their wallets all the time. So that's the issue.
So, if you are buying Cardano or if you're buying any particular coin, which is, we don't have a withdrawal option. So you are just doing a trade, kind of you are trading on a stock market or any broker app where you don't have an option to withdraw or deposit, which is kind of weird for me because apart from coin, WazirX, I think most of the Indian exchanges have this option and they have on, I think, maximum number of coins. It may be there will be some issue on few coins and it get resolved as soon as possible they can. But with WazirX, with ADA particularly, I'm seeing it's been 1.5 years and it's still on rapid listing. And whatever the reason they gives, that is not, you can say, countable because you are India's biggest exchange and that ADA is also kind of a reputed project and it's being in top 5, top 6. At least you should allow deposit or withdrawals.
It's not easy. So in terms of technology, ADA is a U2XO kind of a coin and it's not EVM based. It's a lot and you don't have many developers working on Cardano. So that's an issue that
But they can have a wallet. They can have a wallet.
Yeah, of course. They don't have to do that much. No. The thing is that you have to sync your node with the backend wallet infrastructure that Cardano keeps updating every few months. Because Cardano went live just a few months. And what they did is that they updated their entire wallet infrastructure. It was like a hard fork, right? So I think WazirX hasn't done that yet.
Even before that hard fork, WazirX had listed this ADA in rapid listing. And apart from WazirX, CoinDCX allowed the deposit withdrawals. Even the small exchanges allow deposit withdrawals of ADA. It's just so
you think that it is a malintention of the exchange?
No, it is intentionally, but I'm not saying that they are making it that we are not gonna do it. Maybe they are not focusing on it. They don't want to solve it. Instead of they are doing something else. But for me, if you are running an exchange, what the first priority will be this, that you should allow this withdrawals and deposit. If you are not allowing, you are not in a crypto exchange, you are kind of behaving like an equity platform where you just have to trade. You cannot do anything apart from being using trading.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I have used CoinSys Kuber also, and even that is not allowing deposit. Or
yeah, what know. They said, last time when they had a meeting with the Indian government, so after that they had a tweet on that until unless government doesn't make it clear on crypto, basically, we are not going to allow withdrawals and deposits. So they have suspended all withdrawals and deposit. But that is also intentionally, and they are not doing just because of the government. They are doing it for a different reason. The most of the people who are using multiple platforms, and when they compare this CoinSwitch Kuber's rate on any crypto, they find like there is a massive gap between that prices. Yeah. And if you find that gap, you people will go with you can say deposit or withdrawal from CoinSwitch Kuber to that global exchange or any other exchange where they are getting good amount of rate as compared to CoinSwitch Kuber. So that's why they have to suspend the withdrawals, so the people don't withdraw that amount.
Yeah, a lot of people try to arbitrage trade and
and if you see Bitbain is have a dedicated platform for arbitrage, because they know even they are using the liquidity from the global exchanges, and that's why they have to provide, but they are only providing arbitrage with the global exchanges, not with the Indian exchanges. But this CoinSwitch Kuber has done that, even their rate are not matching with the Indian exchanges. They are far, behind with the Indian exchanges if you compare with the CoinDCX or WazirX. So they have to do it because they don't have any option. Only the new coiners will be going to get the CoinSwitch Kuber. And when they find that on this exchange, I'm getting better option. Even in our group, I have seen multiple posts that people are using CoinSwitch Kuber. And when we recommend to use any other exchange, they don't actually switch on that exchange just because they don't have an option to withdraw it. They just want to keep that whole portfolio as it is, and CoinSwitch Kuber don't have an option to withdraw it, so they want to stick with the CoinSwitch Kuber. So that is kind of a game they played, but they are naming it on government just because government is right now making a bill. It may be possible. There was a rumor that government may not gonna allow us to withdraw our crypto asset from centralized exchanges.
But that is still a rumor.
There is no finalized thing. There is no bill. And all other exchanges are allowing it.
Yeah, at this point, I think that one of the critical issues with centralized exchanges, and from the point of view of Indian government, is this problem that they see where money can flow in outside and inside the country without any central party controlling it, because they won't control over the monetary supply. So they view it as a capital, as a risk that can allow people to do money laundering, or it could allow capital outflow from the country. And they have very tight regulations around foreign exchange in India. And even, they regulated apps like PayPal. And even when you, receive your, any kind of salary from outside the country, they always ask for specific reasons why, that money is coming into the country, or why you want to send money outside the country. So in traditional finance, there are very, very strict laws. But in crypto, as we know, there is no middleman, and you can, move money without asking anyone's permission. They look at it as a problem. So I don't know. I think what might happen in the coming decade is that you could only withdraw to KYC'd wallets, to addresses that are KYC'd, that are identified, that are whitelisted. Because I think that is what the governments around the world will do. And I think the US government has already proposed this, that you can only withdraw to certain whitelisted wallets.
So I do have a question here. If I have Bitcoin in my wallet, and if I want to get it into INR, I have to go to KYC listed wallet only, right? How do you convert back?
You have to, first of all, you have to transfer your BTC on any exchange. And when you're going to withdraw your, suppose you are using WazirX and you transfer your BTC to WazirX, it will allow you to trade on crypto, pairs. But once you receive INR on your wallet, it won't allow you to withdraw. To withdraw that amount to your bank account, you have to do the KYC. So
KYC thing is already there, right?
Yeah, so if you have done the KYC, then you can withdraw it. But if you haven't done the KYC, then you are not allowed to deposit or withdraw. Some exchanges allow deposit up to 1,000, 10,000. Also, they allow withdrawal on up to maybe 1,000 or 5,000. But beyond that, if you go for 15,000, 20,000, you must have to complete your KYC first of all.
Yeah, like Paxful.
Yeah, Paxful, that is a P2P platform. So they also provide, I think, $1,000 without KYC. But if you use any exchanges, even I think CoinDesk also provide up to 1,000 of withdrawal and deposit without KYC. And I think BitBNS also. But if you extend that amount, then you have to complete the KYC first.
Bro, I have a question for you guys. Like, I am stuck somewhere. So maybe like someone can guide me. Like, I was just learning like about crypto only. And I ended up signing up on WazirX. Okay. And what I did was I was day trading. Okay. For small profits, I was day trading only on one coin. Okay. First, I was doing it on LRC. And then I started trading on Mana coin. Okay. And then like I missed few trades. Okay. I was trading on all time highs. Okay. And I missed few trades. And then like it went rapidly. It went down, guys. And even like I heard about arbitrage. Okay. Right now you guys were talking. So it was under the rapid listing program. Okay. So now like what's the speculation about like Mana coin? Like all my funds are just under the one coin. That is Mana coin. It's so silly, bro. So what should I do?
Bro, it depends. So this is not financial advice. Okay, don't consider it because we're not financial advisors here, I'm sure. That's the rule. But if you talk about just one particular coin, which is an altcoin, Mana, which is basically the main native coin for Decentraland, which is this one of the top metaverse projects, Decentraland, that is a native coin. And so I think fundamentally it's a good project. It's backed by some really good investors, and even like some Grayscale, the largest Bitcoin fund in the world backs it. So it's a good project. Long term, it's a good project. But right now we are in a kind of a downturn in the, entire altcoin market, and they have been shedding a lot of value. So it depends where we are in the cycle. Let's say if you enter a bearish cycle, altcoins are going to lose a lot of their value, and Mana and other altcoins could, continue to go down with that. But if let's assume that the recent crash was just a correction, I think Mana is a good coin to hold for the long term. And since you are a day trader, I don't know what's your long-term strategy, but I would say that it's a long-term coin because it is the native coin of Decentraland. And there's a lot of demand for metaverse projects, so it's good. Now, it obviously depends what was your entry price. If you bought at the all-time high, it is a little bit risky because it can lose a lot of value.
So, bro, what I was doing, like, just I waited for, like, around 1 month, okay? So I was, like, kind of bored, bro. I was like, aise to kya hi hoga yaar, ye coin to aise hi pada reh jayega, and market ka jab man mein aayega tab upar niche hoga, so I should do probably something about it. So like yesterday I had this idea. I was like, maybe I can still trade with this coin and like increase the quantity of the coin, if not the price is not increasing. So doing that, is that good, bro? Like it was just a
definitely
idea.
But dollar cost averaging, you're talking about dollar cost averaging. It's the...
Yeah, like I'm putting more money in it, but I'm trying
dollar cost averaging is just to kind of reduce your cost basis to accumulate a particular coin. When it comes down, you keep buying as it comes down, but slowly. You go all in at once and then you take a loan and go all in at once again. No. Slowly you keep accumulating.
I'm not putting any more money in it. I'm like, for example, ₹45,000 invest kiya tha, right? So it went to around like 14,000, bro. just before like last week, dude. And then like right now, like yesterday, it was like around 20,000 or something. So what I thought was like, maybe like if I have 107 coins, maybe I can push it up to like, 110 coins slowly, 11, 12 karke. And maybe like, so I should increase the quantity of the coin, like selling and buying from the same funds. So will that be feasible, dude?
No, I don't think so. I have done this, I've taken the strategy myself, and it is very painful. because the market is quite random, right? And you are saying that you will basically trade from within the coins, right? It could work, yeah, right? If the coin enters into a consolidating range, you know, if the coin is ranging between two levels of prices, then it can be done. Let's assume that it goes to 16, you sell, you buy it back again at 13, and it goes to 16 again. In that scenario where it is in a range, you can do it. But usually in a bear market, what we see that tokens don't trade in a range. They keep going down. Right now, you know, we are looking at potentially a bear market for a few months. So maybe it can work, but I don't know.
Yeah, like 2-3 days ago, I was just like, I just noticed, okay, I just observed this one. So it was like going like, you know, 15, 20 rupees up and down, like 24 hours high, 24 hours low. Okay. So it was going that way. So I thought maybe this could be done just to increase the volume of the coin, at least like the quantity of the coin if I have. Like.
But you are increasing your tax burden like that. Just remember that, you know, you cannot, if you're trading on a centralized exchange,
yeah,
the exchange is sharing all your data with the government. So make sure that you are increasing your tax burden like that. If you're trading on a decentralized exchange like Uniswap, then it is another situation. But if you're trading on a centralized exchange, you have to report this to the tax department. So I will say don't do it because you're just increasing your tax burden.
So in any way, can we convert our crypto from centralized exchange to a wallet like MetaMask?
But it can still be tracked, right?
Hardware wallet.
Look, the best way to get into crypto is to buy it through a peer-to-peer exchange. Okay, so that, because anyway, if you're going to buy it through a centralized exchange, you will have to pay taxes and you cannot evade taxes. It's crime.
In terms of peer-to-peer exchange?
Then there is a small possibility because, you know, I'm not advising you to do that, but it is like if you make sure you file your taxes is what I'm saying. And I think I would like to ask the moderators, because they are running this room, I would like to ask Karma, Dhruv, Sambit and Ankit and others what they think about taxes.
We already had a little bit of discussion on taxes. So the current thing is, as I said, right, I mean, there is not much clearance on taxation, but people are paying on whatever they are getting it back from into their bank account on the basis of INR. But we have to wait for it because a lot of things are happening in US where they are tracking it via USDT also. I don't know. I mean, how does it work right now? How can we track also with a lot of things are happening? I mean, I am converting something else and because somebody is asking, right, if we can send from US to India and can he do make, I mean, he can just send some stable coins or some crypto to US from US or Canada to India. How does that impact taxation? So so there are a lot of small things which are there. I mean, I don't know.
This will take a whole session. What if we take this crypto and put it into our hardware wallet and like the price increase with time, but like, how it's going to be checked? Is there any way?
If you cannot show that you have brought, suppose you have brought it from an exchange in 2017, that exchange got closed down and there is no proof with you that you have brought, you have bought it in 2017. So in that way, you have to pay the tax. You have to pay, if you cannot show, then you have to pay the capital gains. I don't know, on the whole amount or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's more of a problem. Yeah.
So guys, like, there are these scammers, okay, worldwide, okay. So there are these scammers who basically run a call center, okay, and they take money through hawala and through crypto, okay. So like, what about them then, bro? They are having like huge money, bro. So they don't pay so much of taxes, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
then
you,
they're already doing that illegal stuff, then why they will be worrying about this taxation? So if they are doing everything offline, if they are even converting crypto to fiat in offline, then you cannot track it. And that's why even the crypto influencers are also requesting government not to ban it, because once they will ban it, it will fire back. Like, you cannot say right now that crypto is helping this the people who are doing anything wrong, maybe are doing anything, you can say, kind of illegal activities,
but they don't care about these exchanges. They are using offline mediums. They are converting everything and every transaction on offline medium. They are not using centralized exchanges. So that ban won't gonna affect them. So if there will be any taxation, the government will only able to track that centralized exchanges. But if that guy is not using centralized exchanges, if that guy is only using hardware wallet, which is not trackable, then you cannot track it. And then you cannot ask for the taxation.
Bro, I guess people mostly politicians and bureaucrats and everyone, bro. And even all the scammers and drug lords and whatnot, bro. Everyone, bro, these people use crypto for this, their transactions and everything, bro. So I guess even if they banned it, bro, ultimately, bro, the value of crypto will increase, bro. Once a thing gets banned, bro, it increases its value, bro.
You know about Silk Road, right? When Bitcoin was started, just after Bitcoin's invention, the main use of Bitcoin was to use it on drug trafficking platform called Silk Road, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of, Bitcoin whales are actually users of that platform. So that is one thing. Crypto and people who are shady, I think there's always going to be a link between them. You don't need to worry about that. I think as a responsible citizen, see, it is your duty to not evade taxes, right? And people who are criminals will continue to do crime, whether it is crypto, whether it's cash, whether it is some other asset, right? We are entering Web3. Okay, Web3 is inevitable. Okay, whether Indian government or some other government may like it or not, Web3 is here to stay. And one of the core aspects of Web3 is tokenization. Tokenization-based economy. Okay, and it is not going to go away. They might create a circle around it where they may say that you can only withdraw to KYC wallets, right? They may enforce KYC laws on it, but token-based economy is here to stay, right? I mean, look at the amount of investment CoinSwitch received and then CoinDCX received. I mean, these exchanges, I'm not a fan of exchanges, by the way. I think I'm a bigger fan of decentralized exchanges because centralization is a bad thing for crypto, still.
It's the purpose of actually.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, my point is that crypto is here to stay, whether governments like it or not, okay? So criminals will use it just like criminals use cash. They will use it. It doesn't mean that the technology is bad.
Yeah, bro. Bro, but regarding taxes, bro, it was quite interesting, bro, to talk about taxes. So I was even I have a Binance account. So what I did was I tried to act smart, okay? And I was main Binance kharidunga, theek hai? And then I'll transfer to WazirX because I liked it was very easy. WazirX pe trade rate karna. So I was still learner only. So I did it, bro. I made a peer-to-peer thing. And then there was some glitch in the transaction, okay? So I did not receive the coins and all. So I spoke to this guy, okay? He's a pro trader, bro. Actually, he's a seller. He sells USDT and all, bro. So I spoke to him on the phone, okay? So he told me that if I receive a big amount through a crypto exchange in my bank account, so the people from bank will be automatically, they will be calling me. They will give me a call and they will ask me to pay that this much tax you have to pay and all, whatever is legit. We cannot actually evade if we take it in our registered bank account, if we are taking it in someone else's account, like scammers and all do, right? They have accounts with other names, so they don't have to worry about it. But if we do it, bro, so we will get a call from the bank and we have to pay legit taxes. They will say us that this much you have to, and we cannot argue.
Some people are even receiving letters, as I already mentioned, that if there is any transaction of if anyone having, suppose I have a bank account and in any way I have a withdrawal from any exchange from crypto to, suppose, crypto exchange to INR to my bank account. So they will send me a letter to declare my crypto investment and how much I made profit till now, and whether I have paid the taxes or not. So you have to answer all these questions. They give 7 days a window to visit the office and then answer all these questions. And if they are, you can say, happy with your answer, you can go back to your home. And if you are not able to, you can say, give all this transaction history. If you are not able to, yeah, they may be like, there will be some chances. Most of the people, what they use, they used to say that we were using this particular exchange later, which already shut down with the government, because when the RBI rule came, which was against the crypto, and banks started banning transaction for crypto exchanges. So few exchanges were there which shut down at the moment. So people name that exchanges that we have used that exchange to withdraw, deposit and investment invested. And later on, we don't have any transaction history of that. So that's why the only transaction we have, which we have done in last 1 year. So that's how people try to, you can say, escape if they don't really have the perfect transaction history. But still, yeah, once there will be a bill, and once the all exchanges will be asked to submit all the data, just like a US. So suppose you are using Coinbase or FTX in USA, and if you are doing any trade, all that trade history will be shared with the government, or you can say the taxation department. And that's how they calculate your taxes. Once India will have that crypto bill, they will be surely have this thing. And that's why I said there was a rumor that Indian government have asked all the exchanges to have a PNL option permanently for each account. So you can even calculate by yourself, and even the government can have a clearer data that how much we have to charge the taxation on your crypto investment or profit.
But they, I have one doubt in this. Like even one of the former speakers, this guy who answered my question, he said me that I'm like, you know, increasing my tax burden. So like I guess like if I deposited like in the system, if I deposited like 20k, and if I am withdrawing like maybe 40k, so I have to pay taxes only on 20k, right?
Yes.
It is only on the funds I gained, right?
Yeah, so that is capital gain.
Yeah. So what if I sell my funds peer to peer, bro?
So
bro, there is an audit trail. There is an audit trail. It's not like you become vanished by sending it to a peer to peer. Okay. There is always an audit trail, and if you get audited, you know, yeah, they will be able to find out, and you can use the software to know, you know, your link between your account on a centralized exchange or a peer-to-peer exchange. See, it is your call. At the end of the day, it is the decision is to be made by the trader, right? Whether they want to obfuscate any particular transaction or not. The burden is on you, right? That's what I meant to say.
Speaking of exchange, if they ban foreign exchange, come to...
Bro, the future of Binance is itself in you know, is in doubt, because CZ, according to me, the founder of CZ, you know, founder of Binance, CZ is a criminal. Okay, whoever thinks that he's a innocent person is completely wrong. These people are running a huge money laundering hub.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So he becomes very cute and nice in front of the media, and he says that he's doing very good. But the reality, I mean, just recently, Reuters, you guys Google it, Reuters exposed what they do. They say one thing, that, hey, we are following all the rules and regulations. But behind the scene, they have continued, you know, to do whatever they used to do. CZ is not a good character. Do not think that Binance has a future. He might even go to jail in 5 years. So do not trust, you know, these people. Centralized exchanges are not to be trusted.
I guess, bro, they are like, you know, they have huge support from like governments, and like, you know, like they have links, bro, with bureaucrats and all, bro. Because this guy, okay, have you read about that? One of the biggest scam, bro. The guy who, like, from Singapore, I guess. No, a Chinese guy. He was staying in Singapore, and with the governor, bro, out there, bro. And they pulled off a really, really big scam, bro. I'm just getting off the name. Oh, that is pretty interesting, bro. And I guess, bro, this guy, the owner of Binance, bro, he's following the same patterns. He's gonna do the same shit at that. Just find out that name.
Okay, so if anyone have any other question regarding this exchanges, then go ahead, or we may gonna end up this session next 10:50.
Like, I have one question. Guys, mean to say that no centralized exchange should be trusted, or what? or only is it limited to?
No. Like crypto is not made for centralization, so you should always try to avoid that.
But actually, centralization, they charge a lot of gas fee and so much.
Use Polygon. Look, use Polygon. Use Avalanche. Use Phantom. There is no dearth of decentralized exchanges. On cheaper networks like Polygon, like Phantom, like Avalanche.
Someone just pointed out before, they are vulnerable to hacks and all.
Which is vulnerable? Tell me, which? So
like
so,
the decentralized wallets. And
yeah.
All, like,
so when you add liquidity, let's say you become like a liquidity provider, then you are vulnerable because you have locked your funds in the smart contract. When you are just doing a swap, you have exited from the smart contract after one transaction. But when you have added liquidity, that is a risky thing. I will agree that when you become a liquidity provider, that is a risky thing because you have locked your money in the smart contract. Now, if you just want to do a swap, you know, you just want to use the service of exchange, then you are not at risk.
Okay.
There's one more thing, right? So.
But still, so even then, the liquidity, adding liquidity and all, even that involves the decentralization, right? Like it has the risk of the decentralization poses.
What risk? I mean, yeah, I agree that when you become a liquidity provider, there is a risk. If you're just swapping, then I don't think that there is any.
Okay, so it's just the wallet with us.
So I'll explain it to you. So when you provide liquidity in an automated market maker, what you do is that you lock up your funds and your funds remain locked up in a smart contract. Now, if there is a bug or a vulnerability in a smart contract, then your funds can get lost or some hacker might drain your funds from the smart contract. But when you are just a swapper, when you just did a transaction, then you are not required to lock your funds.
Okay, so these wallets, normally you have it on your as your browser extension.
Yeah, you can have it on your browser extension in MetaMask, or you can also use it with your hardware wallet.
Okay, but actually the traders, they prefer they don't prefer the hardware wallets because it's a bit, you know, more like time taking and all.
Yeah, you can use a MetaMask also. So MetaMask only gets hacked when you share your private key with someone. So make sure that you are only interacting with smart contracts that are not malware. Right? There are some phishing smart contracts. So a hacker might send you an airdrop, right? And when you claim that airdrop, your private key might be shared you might give a permission to that contract to spend funds on your behalf. And then the hacker might withdraw the funds. But if you just want to use MetaMask, that is also fine. As long as you make sure that you're not giving permission to any malicious smart contract.
Guys, am I audible?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, just wanted to add that, centralized exchanges are needed when like you have to cash your coins, right? Like if I want US dollars or INR, I cannot do it on a DEX, right? So that's where it is needed. And there's one advantage, like recently what happened, crypto.com, it got hacked and I think around $30 million worth of Ethereum or like other coins were hacked, right? So these like good ones, they are covered with proper insurances, and then all those users who were impacted, they were paid back. So, but if you lose something in Onyx or like there was a rug pull on Wonderland, right? So things like that, then there's no insurance and nothing else. So there are both pros and cons. It depends what do you want. Like if you always want to stay in crypto, then yeah, obviously go with the decentralized ones. You don't need to be on the centralized exchanges. But if you want to sell your cryptos and make money, that's where you will have to come to centralized exchanges. Otherwise, there's no mean.
Guys, can I ask?
Yeah, Maxim.
Has anyone used this particular exchange, which is the Vault? Of late, too many ads are there and YouTube influencers are promoting that particular provide interest rate quite very easy.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to highlight that I'm using that Vault. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it a Polygon-based service or is it a centralized exchange?
It's centralized one.
It is based in India?
Yes, Indian startup.
Okay.
No, it is based in Singapore. Yeah. And it is backed by, I think, Coinbase and there was another VC. So yeah, it have a good backing and that's the only reason I can recommend to use it, because there is no other way to verify whether this is a legit platform or not.
Even when I talk about coin DCLs, I give the same reason to use it because they have a good backing, and that gives you the authentication of that. Yeah, this is a legit platform. So they also have a good backing. You can say VCs. So yeah, you can use it, but I don't know like how they are providing that high interest rate and whether that will be for you can say for future as well or not, because they are not based in India. That may be their tactics, because last time when there was a ban on crypto from RBI was happened, then all the Indian exchange either they were shut down or either they have shifted to Singapore. So maybe that's the reason they started from Singapore and they are doing the business in India. So in case if there is any ban in India, so they don't have to shut down their business.
Yeah,
so
but that will affect. Yeah, you're right. Even I think BitVNS is not based in India, if I'm not wrong.
No, it
I think it's based in Europe.
It is. I think they have an office in Bangalore. I don't know about that being either they are registered in India or not, but they have an office in Bangalore, and they were, I think, they had an issue with the, I think, with the customer service or something related to, and there was a full video about their office, and I think some people were threatened to, you can say, that I think Gaurav, who is the I think founder, they threatened to beat him or due to any investment reason, I think. So I have seen that video, and basically that was from Bangalore. But I don't know whether they are registered in India or not. Zepay is registered in Singapore as well. So Vault and Zepay are from Singapore. I think Vasilex is registered in India because that company, I think Zimani, something like that, that is an Indian registered company. Apart from that, I don't know about BitVNS.
One more thing. I started using, I have added in MetaMask. I just made a wallet, but I'm not able to, like, it's Ethereum based. So I bought some coins, like Bitcoin. Okay. I'm not able to transfer that money. And,
you need to.
I want to switch. I don't want to keep anything in Binance. I want to switch to the decentralized. Okay, which will be better?
So is it wrapped Bitcoin or is it original native Bitcoin?
No,
you said that you
the one which I bought Binance.
Yeah, so you bought Bitcoin from Binance, right?
Yeah.
So you can essentially, the simple thing is to set up a ledger or a Trezor wallet and use that to store Bitcoin. That is the safest option. Just send, so you can withdraw it to your Ledger wallet or Trezor wallet, which is hardware based.
And I wanted to keep it. I don't want to trade. I want to keep it for the long term.
I'm telling you the long term option only. Just buy a Ledger from a distributor. Make sure the distributor is authenticated by Ledger. So you can go to Ledger's website and it has provided list of verified distributors. And once you make sure the distributor is verified by a Ledger, then you install its application, and then you download the Bitcoin application within the Ledger. It's very easy. You'll figure it out. And then you create an account within it and then withdraw it from the exchange to your Ledger. Simple. And then make sure that you write down the private key. Do not store it on any digital service, and do not store it in laptop. Do not store it in any wallet, any note application. Just write it down in multiple locations. Keep it secure. That's all. That's the best way to store any coin for the long term. Just have a copy of your private key. Do not even print it. Okay. Sometimes printers might also have malware. So just write down your private key, and then just have like 3-4 copies. That's all.
Another thing I can suggest, like if you are okay with earning some yield on it, just explore ThorChain. So Rune is that,
bro?
Those guys.
It has been hacked 3 times. Just a disclaimer.
Vishal, just a second. Yeah, I will come to that. Let me come. So that's what I'm studying. So if you are comfortable, just first go through that platform. It has been already hacked like once in past, but recently they have upgraded their security, and I'm following the WBTC and the BTC volume on that platform recently, and it keeps on going up. So maybe just explore that option. Maybe you get some yield. And the other option, which Vishal mentioned, is the best and the secured one, where you can put it on your hard wallet. So yeah, there are both kind of solutions.
And
yeah,
also, just to add to Max's question that you are not able to transfer into MetaMask, native Bitcoin won't get transferred into the MetaMask until and unless it is on a different chain hold. Like you have seen that, I mean, there is a USDT on BEP20, USDT on ERC20, USDT on Solana. So, I mean, a lot of these coins have to be either compatible with a different blockchain or they have to be wrapped kind of thing. So BTC, you can convert to wrapped BTC and send to your MetaMask and store it. But yeah, I would completely agree with Vishal that storing in a hardware wallet is the best option. If you don't want to touch, don't want to do any kind of DeFi, don't want to earn any yield, just take it. And I think even your ledgers are also providing some kind of the staking options and all. I don't know which ledger does that, but yeah
I think they have. I have read, and there are thoughts that I want to go for the ledger, but the investment amount is not that high, that's why once I have a substantial amount of investment, certainly I'm going to buy a ledger. But
and in one way, just want to add to that, because you are starting MetaMask. In MetaMask, all the Ethereum compatible, the EVM compatible chains, they can be set up separately, like Phantom, like Matic, like Binance Smart Chain. These are all EVM compatible chains. They can be set up in Ethereum and you can just store their coins. Solana, Cardano, Terra Luna, they have a different set of decentralized wallets. So you have to transfer. I mean, if you want to go for full decentralized, you have to keep track of a lot of crypto in that way.
And one thing, like, fine, I have invested for such long time in my ledger. Later, after 7-8 years later, when I want to draw it, okay, so which will the best way to get that particular exactly? Again, I have to transfer it on the Binance and then I have to convert, or if there is an
hello,
yeah, and again, without paying much interest on it, okay, how that I can do? What's that? Because at a certain
without paying much interest, you mean the income tax?
Yeah.
I don't know whether there is a norm for long-term capital gains tax on this. We are not aware what is the norm here. In that way, we'll check.
Yeah, I think long-term capital gain tax will only be like, I think, 10% or something. It will not be that much compared to like short-term is like 20-25 something. I'm not sure. Anyway,
in stocks it is 15, Vishal.
Okay.
But there is a thing. I mean, if you are doing future and options, the earnings get added to your CTC. I mean, that your disposable income, what is there?
Okay.
From the CTC. So in that way, if you are earning more than 15 or 16 lakhs, then you are paying 30%. Those kind of stuff. And I had heard that even Indian government might come up with higher taxes for crypto in order to curb it. Let's see. I mean, whatever is the norm, we have to follow in that way. If it is a long-term capital gains tax, then it might be less. But in 7 to 8 years, Maximus, a lot of things change. Maybe the government will become a liberal to grow. They will also adopt to less taxes on crypto. A lot of things might happen. A lot of curbing. Also, I don't know. I mean, difficult question. What will happen after 7 to 8 years? But yeah, it is very good to keep those amount in your ledger. But time to time, you have also have to monitor it, because there might be some of the coins which might not survive that much amount of time. So
I hope Ethereum, Cardano and Bitcoin will stay.
They will. Because Ethereum has been, survivor since 2-3 bear markets also. So it has stayed, it will stay. But yeah, anyways, we'll see. It does not take time to switch also.
Samit, on this, like, which is a better approach? Like, just putting everything in the hardware wallet, or like yielding, taking the yields and like compounding on top of it? Like, so what would be the better option to
yield on compounding? Yield on compounding, whether it can be done on the centralized exchanges or in a decentralized way, it's up to you. How do you want the security to be? So if you have some Phantom, then you can go and explore tomb staking. If you have some Luna, you can go become set up a validator node. Like, you can put up in the go to Terra station and stake it, or you can stake Luna in Binance, which is giving good returns. So a lot of staking things are there. It makes sense. I mean, if you do not have so much capital, right, it always makes sense to stake it and earn more and more and more. Once you have a lot of amount of money and you don't want to take any risk, then you can easily store it in ledger. Or you are doing trading, you are getting the profit, then you can just put it into Bitcoin or some other coin and you can take it and store it in your ledger. But DeFi, I will not tell much about DeFi, but staking is always an option. Every day you will get something. in that way.
Yeah, but native Bitcoin staking is only possible in, as Josh said, Thor chain. That is the only option for native staking. Other than that, you'll have to wrap your Bitcoin, which is not a secure thing, in my opinion. Because in wrapped Bitcoin, you are trusting just one smart contract to kind of create a tokenized version of your Bitcoin. And it's just one centralized party. And if it gets hacked, you never know. I mean, you can lose. I mean, Thorchain is a good option. But again, I was like a big fan of Thorchain. But, you know, it was like, I was disappointed by it when it got like hacked like 3 times. Because I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist. So I've covered it. I've written three articles. So I remember it got like 3 times hacked. I mean, still a good project. Hope they secure, you know, improve their security. Let's see. But Maximus, is this your Bored Ape? Do you own this Bored Ape?
No, I don't. Yeah. I wish one day.
This thing was available for like 0.1 ETH, like 8 months ago, right? When it was launched, and nobody bought it, and it's like so disappointing.
So very interesting. Why this particular ape?
This one I'm using.
The backstory is that the cost of this particular ape is $300,000, but due to some mistake, it went for $3,000. That's why this particular ape was in news.
2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Around that.
It was a mistake of a listing person, the owner.
Yeah, there are a lot of bugs on OpenSea at this point.
A suggestion from you. Can you guys recommend a good Reddit account where we can get some legit information, which is trusted one?
Yeah, I mean, there aren't any. I think there's just one cryptocurrency, right? Subreddit. We can create one for India. I don't know if there is one. But this, I think Clubhouse is a good place, I feel.
Also, Maximus, I use Celsius. I don't know if you can access that in India. So I think Celsius also give 4% yield on Bitcoin, and they have a good insurance. It's like a centralized exchange. So maybe you can explore that option as well if you are okay with centralization.
So do you guys think Indian government understands crypto? Because I still feel that they somehow lack the understanding. That's why they keep on making this stupid comment.
I think looking into the other blockchain related projects that are going on, I think they know what it is, how it works, but they are waiting for a global kind of acceptance or reject, whatever. They are just waiting for what US and other countries will do, and then they'll follow. That's what I think.
What I feel is that they do understand, but the boomer generation, who are the people who are the signing authority, they are yet to understand. But the millennials who are there in at a managerial level, I think they do understand. So we have to hope that in the next decade, okay, when they will go to the higher ups, okay, they might, and certainly there is a lot of lobbying is happening, okay, pro crypto in India. Certainly, I think the government will understand.
I think they'll wait for what UK, US, Russia, because this is a global thing, right? Like, it's not possible to ban this thing in one country or, you know, allow this thing in one country. I think G20 countries, they all will come with some common solution, and then that will be implemented across. That's what's happening in US also.
Yeah, I think that they're more threatened by the stablecoin industry more than like Bitcoin or Ethereum. I think they look at it as a challenge to their own monetary authority because of these stablecoins, especially these like algorithmic stablecoins like Terra and Magic Internet Money and all of these like rebase tokens. They think that, so I think they're going to first come after stable coins, I feel, like something like Tether or DAI. They're going to like implement a very, very draconian law against stable coins. That's what I kind of feel. Because, I mean, they have already, in a way, like the Fed, especially the US Fed and the US Treasury, they're okay with Bitcoin as an alternate asset, right? They're okay with, investment. That's why they allowed ETFs to launch in 2021. So they're okay with these crypto assets, but what they're not okay with these stable coins, because, you know, they think that they should have the sole authority over stable coins or stable or like fiat asset.
I think what will happen is they will come with the CBDC, and then they will say, okay, now you have a US dollar on blockchain. Till now you didn't have it, so you needed USDC or USDT. Now you have your own currency on blockchain. So instead of using USDC, UGT, use this. And I think they will try to block those two private, because those are private companies, right? And then there will be no excuse left also, because that's why people are using USDC, because those are very close to the value of dollars. Then government will say, okay, we will allow you to trade in cryptocurrencies, but you use instead of that. And I think this is why all the government all of a sudden are working on CBDCs. UK government has already made some, you know, steps. And then I think I've heard like Bank of America, JP Morgan, those guys are also working on some sort of CBDCs with US Fed. So
CBDCs are interesting, but you know what, I looked into these CBDCs and I found that most of these CBDCs are not even using blockchain. They're using a centralized kind of a database to keep account of these assets. So they are so stupid that they don't even give importance to like blockchain. They think that it's not even required to use blockchain. So for example, the you know, Chinese CBDC does not use blockchain. The Euro CBDC does not use blockchain.
They're very afraid, right? I mean, it's storing the ledger. I mean, storing it on blockchain would expose whatever the
things are being done, CBDC or currency.
Some political party is taking some kind of a donation, and how does he use it? At least it will become very clear that this party has spent this much amount here, there. It might not, we might not know where exactly it has gone. But yeah, this portion of the fund has gone from this wallet to that wallet. Question him. Why this has gone? What are you trying to do here? So similarly, everything can be tracked. In that way, they will not move blockchain, some of the countries. And also, as we talk, USDT, USDC, all these companies which are based out of US, particularly DAI and everything, they will come under control. Why they are being targeted? Because a lot of these people, while they're converting, while they're selling their digital assets, they're first converting into this USDT and USDCs. And in that way, they want to track who is converting their assets to stablecoin so that we can tax everyone. That will be the first step. Then they will come after DeFi, as you mentioned. I mean, after stablecoins, DeFi will automatically be impacted. Then they will come after algorithmic stablecoins. But algorithmic stablecoins, I don't know how much they have an authority in that way. Because it is not linked to any security, any other things. I mean, any underlying security bonds, nothing is there. It is also correlated to the price of another script. Do that. But anyways, let's see. Because it is a very interesting development. Thank you, guys. And also, don't forget to join if you are not a part of Crypto Hub. It's a place on Facebook. We have a lot of people out there. You can just join it, have fun, and also follow us on Twitter. It is Crypto Hub IND. Yeah. Good night, guys. Good night.
Thank you all. Good night.
You were listening to the Crypto Hub India podcast. Do follow us wherever you are listening so that you get notified about the latest episodes as soon as they're out. We are active on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Telegram, and Clubhouse. Visit cryptohubindia.com to get all our social links. This is Nirmal Sarkar signing off. Thank you.